You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Episode 79 of the Shock Jock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting Podcast Network. Sean St. Jacques back here with you for another week of Knicks and NBA talk. Happy bleeping New Year to all you guys out there, all you guys and gals, and everyone that listens to the podcast, all your families, everybody out there. You guys have already taken in the sweet bliss of 2021. I'm recording this podcast on New Year's Eve as I'm talking at the moment. There's still about 8 hours to go until 2020 is over. I'm going to be, spending the rest of my evening, watching a little bit of basketball, watching the Knicks, and then watching some college hoops, and then ringing in the new year probably with an alcoholic beverage, most likely. Probably like many of you, not too much though. Obviously, do it in moderation, as always. But I just wanted to, give you guys a little bit of the lowdown here. I was going to record this yesterday on the Wednesday, didn't get a chance to do it, so I'm doing it early on in New Year's Eve to get it done. I didn't want to wait till the end. I'm going to be spending some time with family. I was thinking about doing it after the Knicks game, but at that point we're going to be deep into, spending time with family most likely, so it's, not the best timing. So I won't be able to comment on the Toronto Raptors game later on tonight. You guys will know the result of that game. But we're sitting here, and the Knicks are 2-2 on the season. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the NBA standings and where everyone stands so far. Anybody, any notable, things in the early stretches. Most teams have played about 4 or 5 games. So we'll dive into the early season storylines a little bit and things of that nature. Hopefully you guys are all doing well. This has been a really, really insane, crazy, tough year for everybody. I don't think anybody can say that 2020, they were able to get out of it unscathed. It's been a really tough year for everybody. And I hope that you guys are in as positive of a mind frame as you can be going into 2021. I know it's difficult. Just the last couple of weeks for me, even during the holidays, personally, have been difficult from a mental standpoint. It's been a wearing year, a wearing down kind of year mentally. And that's the best way I can put it. That's how I feel about it. I just hope you guys are doing everything you can to take positives from it. That's what I'm trying to do throughout this entire process. And hopefully, this is a podcast that helps you, escape from that a little bit. And if it does, it means a lot, because that's what we try to do on a week to week basis. So again, hope you guys are doing as well as you can be. Hope you have enjoyed your New Year's Eve. And I don't know the result of the Knicks-Raptors game. Hopefully it's a positive result for the Knicks, and obviously hoping for better and brighter things for you and your family in 2021. Now let's dive into the business end of the show here. We'll get to the NBA stuff as far as a broader landscape later on in the show. We got to talk some Knicks here, because I got to say, there's been a lot of positives from the first 4 games of the season, I have to say. Now, to be fair, I did not watch a lot of the Cavs game. I watched maybe a couple of quarters. I was in the middle of work. I had it on in the background, so I didn't get a ton of time to dissect that game. We'll get to that in a second. The Pacer game was actually going on while I was recording last week's show. It was the only time I had a chance to do it. So again, I had the game on in the background, and I think I remember listening... listening back to last week's show, And the Knicks were still in the game when I signed off. They were still hanging around in that game. And then it really got out of hand late in the third quarter. Basically, as soon as I stopped recording and started editing the podcast, everything went to hell for the Knicks in the game. And I think they ended up getting outscored by, I want to say, 19 in the second half, something like that, after they played pretty well, especially in the second quarter on opening night. But the Pacers went out and, you know, kind of finished the Knicks off in the fourth quarter. And you know, despite, you know, some good performances from, I thought, you know, RJ Barrett was pretty strong. I mean, the thing with RJ Barrett that I'm looking for this year is efficiency. I really want to see him have games like this where he's 11 for 15 with 26 points. And again, you know, a lot of you guys dissect the plus minus, you know, five assists, eight rebounds. You know, only one turnover, by the way, as well, for RJ Barrett. I thought he was fantastic. On opening night, I think the other performance that stood out had to be Alec Burks. I mean, only 12 shots, he gets 22 points. I know 8 of 9 from the free throw line, but he made a very nice impact off the bench. Saw a little bit of good stuff from Emmanuel Quickley as well. In 12 minutes, he scored 5 points, had an assist, a steal, and a rebound, and made all of his free throws. Some good stuff there. You know, a little bit of a glimpse of what he can do in the regular season. You know, we saw a very inefficient game from Julius Randle. I know he was an assist and a rebound shy of a triple-double, but he had 5 turnovers, and he fouled out. Almost fouled out with 5 fouls. So, and he shot 15 attempts to get to 17 points. So, you take the good with the bad with Julius Randle, you know, and also, you know, Reggie Bullock did what Reggie Bullock does. He made a few threes. That was about it. We saw 9 points from Obi Toppin, had a couple of blocks, was inefficient from the field, but showed you some signs that he could do something. Didn't see a whole lot from, you know, Frank Ntilikina. Nerlens Noel didn't play a ton either. And Kevin Knox was pretty underwhelming, made a couple of shots, a few rebounds, and turned the ball over a couple times. I think he got a couple of steals as well. But really, the overall story of that game was the third quarter, the end of the third quarter, and it kind of got away from the Knicks after that. Sabonis and Oladipo kind of finished the Knicks off in the third and then, you know, carried that over into the fourth. The Philly game was a little bit more straightforward. I thought the Knicks really fell apart in the third quarter. That was really the only quarter I thought the Knicks struggled in the game, and they lost by 20 points. So it was just one really bad quarter, seriously, that kind of stemmed the tide in the game. The Knicks hung around in the first half, were down by 5 at the break, and then just couldn't find any footing in the third quarter, and the Sixers kind of took it from there. You know, better game from Julius Randle, I thought, in the second game of the season. I thought he was more efficient, you know, a little bit more aggressive as well. Kind of had to be in this game. Alec Burks off the bench again with 22 points. This is a guy that can fill it up and give you some good performances. This is one of the, this game in particular, the Philly game, was one of the worst performances I think I've ever seen, college or the pros, from RJ Barrett. He really was poor from the field, didn't make a 3 in 6 attempts, 2 of 15 overall from the field. Really bad performance from him, and I'm sure he'll be the first one to tell you. Tack on top of that, 4 turnovers in the game as well. Did have 4 assists, did have 6 rebounds, but I remember turning the game off for a little bit, not, you know, changing the channel in the middle of the third quarter, and I was going to check on the game a little bit later. Came back, and the first thing I'm hearing is, you know, how bad RJ Barrett's shot selection has been, and he's just not knocking anything down. It was a tough night for him, no question about that. But for the Knicks as a whole, I mean, listen, we could boil it down really to one quarter. I mean, they really played Philly tough for most of the game, but that third quarter, everything changed. I mean, the Knicks just did not, you know, keep the momentum going. I know Philly leaves with a 5-point lead at halftime, but the Knicks were still very much in that game, and they come out and they were just flat in the third defensively. Something that's going to happen at times in the early stages under Tom Thibodeau. This is a team that's got to get used to defending at a high level, and they just weren't that team for a lot of the third quarter, and it cost them big time. They were outscored by 12 in the third, and the Sixers held on from there to win by 20 points. So, and that obviously holding on, not the right terminology there, but they finished the game off and they get the victory. The Knicks were 0-2. So I'm going into the Bucks game thinking, all right, 0-3, it's going to be a really poor start for the Knicks. And things kind of flipped. The script kind of changed. And for the Knicks, it was one quarter that went their way that changed everything. The Knicks kind of, you know, in a very high-scoring game, to be fair, kind of controlled the tempo in the first quarter, but then they just ripped Milwaukee apart in the second quarter and outscored the Bucks 31-18. And I'm thinking at halftime, all right, what's the third quarter going to look like? This is a big quarter for the early portion of the Knicks season. Can they finish this off? Because I'm still thinking, you know, you're looking at how the game is going and you know what the Bucks have at their disposal. You know, and former Knick Bobby Portis had a decent night with 17 points, and Giannis had 27, Chris Middleton had 22. You're still thinking, you know, this is going to be a tough night. The Bucks could come back and win this game. But it just didn't happen, and the Knicks had a solid second half. They outscored the Bucks in the second half, and they won 130-110. The biggest kudos of the night has got to go to Elfrid Payton, who had 27 points, plus 15 on the plus minus, 7 assists, and only missed 4 shots in 16 attempts from the field, knocked down 3 of his 3 from downtown, and the bench showed up to 18 points from Alec Burks, who's been a revelation so far, 12 from Frank Ntilikina, who knocked down 4 3-pointers. Where the heck has that been? And then Kevin Knox chipped in a solid performance off the bench as well with 7-4 and 2 assists with a steal and a block, and was plus 17 on the floor. On top of that, you know, we finally saw a better performance out of Mitchell Robinson, I thought, and RJ Barrett had a solid night despite being slightly inefficient. 17 points, four assists, I believe, and 8 rebounds. So, again, not making threes, so that's a bit of a, you know, he missed 10 threes in a row over that 2-game stretch. That's a bit of a concern. However, still got the job done from the field, and the Knicks pick up as impressive of a win as I can remember. I mean, it's been a while since I looked through a box score and looked back at highlights after watching a Knick game and felt, wow, this team is impressive. This was an impressive performance from the New York Knicks, and I think it raised a couple of eyebrows around the NBA. I know that the Bucks are early in their season. We'll get to some of the, you know, notable surprises of the first 4 or 5 games. It's so early, so you can't put a ton of stock in this. However, this was impressive. This was a very impressive performance by the New York Knicks. No question about it. I can't remember the last time that I left looking back at a Knicks game feeling as good as I did after that game. It's been a while. They beat arguably the best team in the East by 20 points and earned every minute of that victory. All the celebrations they got, they deserved. That was a really impressive performance from the New York Knicks. So now you're probably thinking like I'm thinking, well, what's the next game going to look like? It's a winnable game. You're playing Cleveland, who hadn't lost a game yet this season. Surprisingly, we're 3-0 going into this game. Knicks were trying to get back to 500. And the Knicks, I have to say, won this game in the first quarter. I mean, they dominated Cleveland and outscored them 29-15 in the first quarter, and already carrying the momentum over from the last game, which was so crucial. So crucial. It really was. Against a team that, you know, had gained some confidence. And listen, you know, didn't have Alec Burks, who's been a great presence off the bench for the first 3 games. He had a left ankle sprain, didn't play. But the Knicks starters stepped up. Almost all five starters were in double figures. 9 points from Mitchell Robinson was the outlier there. But Randall had 28, efficient from the field, had a triple-double, 11 assists, 12 rebounds, did have 9 turnovers, mind you. So he almost had a quadruple-double in the bad sense. But Reggie Bullock's game, I thought, was crucial. 5 threes, 17 points, 7 rebounds. And had a block. I read that yesterday. I forgot even when he had the block, to be honest with you. I didn't watch a ton of the game because of work, but goodness me, doing it all. And then Elfrid Payton almost has a triple-double. 14, 8, and 7 assists. And again, despite a poor shooting night, RJ Barrett gives you a decent performance with 12, 7, and brings in a couple of assists and steals as well. So it's been a little Jekyll and Hyde from RJ Barrett, but the big key is this. The Knicks are defending. They're doing well on the defensive end of the floor. That's been the key to this good start. Yes, the offense has been coming from a lot of different places. It hasn't been as consistent as maybe some would like. It's going to grow. It's going to get better. The defense under Tom Thibodeau is already getting better. This was a Cleveland team. Again, it's a 4-game sample, mind you. But this was a Cleveland team that beat Charlotte and scored 121 points, beat Detroit in double overtime, scored 128, and crushed Philly, scoring 118, and the Knicks held the Cavs at home to 86 points. That is a nice little feather in Tom Thibodeau's cap early on in the season. That's a really nice win to back up a really impressive performance at the Garden against the Bucks. That's a nice 2-game rebound after a tough start to the season, where the Knicks, to be fair, didn't play terribly in either of those two games, but it was the one quarter in the first two that cost them the game, right? We talked about it in the opener, the third quarter specifically, the end of it in particular, leading into a bad fourth quarter or mediocre fourth quarter, and you lose the opportunity to win that game. The Philly game, you were tight for most of it and then just got absolutely walloped in the third and it cost you the game. Walloped in the second quarter. You don't rebound in the third. Cost you the game. Against Cleveland, they were the ones that were initiating it in the first quarter. You build a lead. You hold on to it at halftime. And the Knicks managed the second half, I thought, superbly. They held Cleveland to under 20 points in 2 of the 4 quarters. I mean, that's going to give you a lot of chances to win games in the NBA when you do that. Holy smokes. Really good performances from the Knicks over the last couple of games. Defensively, again, night and day under Tom Thibodeau. It really is. Communication is already on its way. Guys are making the proper switches. They're staying in their shape. Nobody's trying to, you know, gamble too much. There's a trust. There's a trust in the coach. There's a trust in this idea, this style. And Tom Thibodeau's marks are all over those two wins. All over them. All over them. And the Knicks are off to a decent start, I have to say. I know it's 4 games, it's going to be 5 when you listen to this on New Year's Day. But I got to tell you, the Knicks are off to a decent start. And I did not know if I was going to be saying that. I really didn't. I was not sure where this Knicks team was going to be after the first week of the season. Could have been a number of different things here. Could have been looking at a number of different, number of different options for that. But the Knicks rebound after playing a couple of playoff teams, holding their own but not being able to finish the job, and you know, having a poor quarter in each game, to beating arguably the best team in the East by 20, and then beating a team that's hot in the early season in Cleveland on their court, and holding them to 86 points. So the Knicks are going to play again tonight. They're playing the winless Raptors. We'll get to more on that in the second half of the show. But I'm excited to see what the Knicks do later on tonight. You guys will know. You guys will be able to, you know, see what happens going into 2021, how the Knicks do. I don't know the result yet of the game. I'm recording it before the Toronto game. So I'll be talking about it next week with you guys. So I'm looking forward to that. When 2021 become, when by the time we do the next show, it's almost, you know, you're not allowed to say Happy New Year anymore. I might give more of a grace period this year because everyone just needs 2021 to come. But it's, you know, next time we talk to each other when this show is over, goodness gracious, we're going to be deep into 2021. But I'm excited. Let me know what you guys think about the Knicks early start. For me, it's a common denominator. Tom Thibodeau's defense. I mean, that's been the difference in the two wins. The Knicks don't get those two wins last year. They don't under Miller or Fizz. No way. Tom Thibodeau, it's a different animal, man. It's a different animal under Tom Thibodeau. The defense dictates the game. And I've talked to a number of coaches that preach this, college and in the pros. Defense dictating the offense is the best way to play the game when you've got the personnel available. If you can defend and it dictates your offense, you're a dangerous team. You're dangerous. And the Knicks have shown it that they've got it in them. They've got it in them under Tom Thibodeau. We'll take a break here. When we come back, storylines around the NBA through 4 or 5 games that are a little surprising so far. It's early, but we'll talk about it. Coming up next on the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting Podcast Network. Second half of the show, we're talking NBA now, broadening the horizon a little bit here. The reason I did was just because I was looking at the standings, right? And there were a couple of things that definitely popped out at me. I know it's early. Trust me, it's very early, right? Couple of things that definitely popped out at me early in the season. I want to dive into some of them because, again, it's early, but there are trends that can develop early in the season. There are. Now, again, some teams haven't played a lot of good teams yet. Some teams have played a really tough schedule in the early going. You know what I mean? I was looking at the West yesterday, and I was looking at some of the schedules that these teams have played, and I remember people ripping on Twitter a couple of different teams, and I'm thinking, all right, look who they've played in the early season. They've had a tough schedule in the early going. Dallas, who's 1-3, they've played the Lakers and the Clippers and the Suns. I know they lost to the Hornets, but that's not an easy 4-game stretch out of the gates. Denver has played the Clippers and the Kings twice. The Kings could be a playoff team this year, folks. These are some good teams. The West is no joke, people. So it's early. I remember even looking at the Rockets. The Rockets, who again, already had some COVID issues so far, but they've got 2 games in the books. They've lost to 2 playoff teams. They lost by a deuce to Portland on the road, and they just got beat by a good Nuggets team who needed a win on the road. So it's early. You know, everyone that's saying, well, I told you so about the Rockets. It's 2 games for Houston because of COVID. Pump the brakes. Pump the brakes a little bit, people. Now, the positives, some of the positives in the West so far, when you look at some of the ways some certain teams have been playing at the moment. Good start for the Kings. Mentioned that. The Suns have been playing well and outscoring teams by 11 points per game so far, which has been pretty impressive in the early going. They've had a really nice start to the season, beating the Mavs, the Kings, and the Pelicans by a whopping 25 points. So, hey, Suns are good, man. Phoenix is going to be good this year. I said this last week. Phoenix is no joke this year. Phoenix could do some things in the West. And again, they're still trying to incorporate Chris Paul into that system. I'm telling you, this could be a really good year for Phoenix basketball. I was looking at the highlights of their game and the influence that Chris Paul has. I know we only had 9 points and 9 assists in the win over Portland. I'm sorry, the win over New Orleans. But with what's around them, with who's available on this team off the bench, Dario Saric, Cameron Payne, Cameron Johnson, DeAndre Ayton's doing his thing, Mikal Bridges is a solid NBA player, and Jay Crowder. Some people are thinking, Jay Crowder, what are you doing? Leaving a good team in the East to go to the West, right? That's what I was thinking initially. You look at what he had, what was around him last season. The team he could have been on, again. He was on a team that made it to the finals with Miami. And he goes to a Phoenix team that's got a chance to make some noise in the West. They're off to a great start. And I have to say, the first 5 games for me, the player that's looked the best in the NBA, there's really not much debate, in my opinion. I think when you look at the first 5 games, who stood out the most? I think for me, it's easily Paul George. Paul George has been a man on a mission in the first 4 games of this season. You know, he took it personally, blowing that 3-1 lead against Denver last season. A lot of people put it on him. A lot of people put it on him. And he's looked fantastic in the first 5 games. He really has. And to be fair, the 1 game he didn't look good in, Dallas crushed LA. So every other game, and he still had, you know, a relatively okay performance in that game. He didn't play as much as he would normally play. He still had a decent performance. Every other game, he's just been, fantastic. Really has been. And now Kawhi is starting to pick it up as well. So the Clippers are starting to already look like the Clippers. So it's exciting in the West right now. There's a lot of storylines. We're seeing the early stages of this season play out. You know, it's been a little bit of an up and down start for the Lakers. They lose to the Clippers on opening night. They kind of, you know, they lost by 7. It was probably more than that. Should have been more than that. Clippers were the better team on the night. But other than that, you know, they got 3 wins over the Mavs, the Timberwolves, and the Spurs. They lost a tight game to the Blazers. I still feel like it's almost like last year a little bit with the Lakers. I feel like it's going to be a slow start. You know, this could probably cost them the 1 seed in the West, you know, a slow start like this. I could see them, you know, being slow out of the gates. And then like around, you know, late January, they go on a crazy run and they're, you know, second or third in the West, if not already there. And then they'll round into playoff form by, you know, beginning of, you know, early to mid-February, they're going to be ready for the playoffs. More than ready, I would think, at that point. So we'll see. You know, it's one of those things. But good stuff in the West already to talk about. Seriously. There's some good storylines. In the East, I mean, for me, the first thing that jumped out at me, 0-3 Toronto Raptors. That was the very first thing that jumped off the page at me. Seriously, when you look at the East right now, very surprising that the Raptors have not gotten off the board yet. They play the Knicks tonight. You know, to be honest with you, it's a big opportunity for the Knicks to go 3-2 here. Seriously, this is a big game potentially in the early stages for the Knicks. If you can beat Toronto on New Year's Eve, you guys will know the result by the time you listen to the podcast. It's a big deal for the Knicks. It really could be a nice boost early in the season. A team that's not playing well right now, has not finished games well against the Pelicans, the Spurs, and the Sixers. It's a big chance for the Knicks to get above 500 early in the season. Beat a team while they're down, kind of mentality. And then the Knicks are right in the race in the division early in the season. You plant your flag down early with Brooklyn at 3-2, Boston at 3-2, and Philly at 3-1. This could be a nice game to say, hey, you know, we can keep up for a bit here. So I'm excited to see what the Knicks do tonight. It feels like a big game to me. And I know it's early, but it's a big opportunity for the Knicks. The Raptors need it desperately. That's the thing. Can the Knicks face a desperate team and get a result? Can they get a win? We'll see. It's a big game. Seems like everyone's sort of come back down to earth a little bit on Brooklyn. That was fun for a second there. You know, they kind of, you know, plunged through the first two games, beating up on the Warriors, beating up on the Celtics, which turned some heads. And then that Hornets loss, they kind of brought everything back down to earth. And then they lost to a Grizzlies team they really shouldn't be losing to. And then won an absolute shootout against the Hawks. So this is going to be what it's going to be, I think, for Brooklyn this year. Very up and down at times. They'll go on a couple of good runs, I think, where they're very good. And everyone will be hyping them up. And you know, Durant and Irving, it's working. And then they'll be brought down to earth again because this is not a great defensive team. It's a good defensive team, but not a great defensive team. And they're going to get beat. They're going to get beat on nights where they don't defend well. I mean, that's the bottom line with Brooklyn. They're not good enough defensively to win a ton of games. They're going to be a playoff team, but they're not a top four team because of their defense. I mean, that's the bottom line. I know it's Atlanta, but 141 points. Holy smokes. Atlanta's looking pretty good so far. Speaking of them, won their first three, dropped their last game. A team that really needed that hot start was Philly. And again, I mentioned it earlier, Cleveland. The only team they've lost to is the Knicks, and they're off to a good start. And then as far as the positive things go, there's only one unbeaten team left in the NBA. And unless you've looked at the standings, there's no way in hell you know who it is. It's the Orlando Magic, who are 4-0. Now, here's the deal. They've played some pretty mediocre teams, besides the win over Miami on opening night. They win a tight game over Miami, who's, you know, again, Jimmy Butler's been a little banged up early in the season. The Heat are going to be fine. The Heat are going to be fine. But after that, the Magic beat a Washington team that's still kind of trying to figure things out right now. By the way, the Wizards are 0-4. It's a little bit of a surprise of that. But they're still trying to figure things out with Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. They're going to be fine. Then they beat an OKC team who's not very good. Could be one of the worst teams in the West this season. But 4-0 is 4-0 in the NBA. The Orlando Magic are the last unbeaten team in the NBA. Did not expect to say that this early in the season. Again, it's very early. They play the Sixers, by the way, in a couple hours here on New Year's Eve. You guys will know the result. Curious to see how they play in that game. They're at home. Could they kind of plant a flag down against a Philly team that's off to a pretty good start this season? That is another interesting New Year's Eve tip to keep an eye on so far. But I'll say this. One thing I will say as we start to wrap the show up here. The Southeast standings. Oof, that division is pretty damn good this year. You look at Miami, the defending Eastern Conference champs. A reloaded Atlanta Hawks team with Trae Young. Charlotte, who could be young and up and coming. Westbrook and Beal with the Wizards. And then the 4-0, normally playoff bound these days, although they don't go very far, Orlando Magic, who are 4-0, rolling right now. All five teams are pretty darn good on paper. And I think they're all going to be in the mix for the playoffs this year, specifically when you look at Orlando, Miami, Atlanta, and potentially, if it works out with Westbrook, the Wizards as well in Washington. The Wiz Kids could be hanging around for a playoff spot. So this is, I mean, that division in particular, very interesting in the early stages of this NBA season. Couple other storylines worth mentioning at the early onset of the season. Yeah, the Bucks are, you know, again, up and down at the start. A loss to the Knicks by 20, you know, is not going to be looked at great at the moment. They did just lose to Miami as well. After, by the way, scoring an NBA record 29 three-point makes in a win over Miami, in a 144-97 win over the Heat. They followed that up by losing to the Heat by 11 on the road. They play on New Year's Day later on after you listen to the show against the Bulls. So their game on opening night against the Celtics was a nail biter, but they came out on the wrong side of it. You know, the Bucks are another team similar to the Lakers that are probably going to get off to a bit of a slow start. I'm not saying they're going to be under 500 for very long here, but I could see it taking Milwaukee a little bit of time. I think the biggest thing that hurt the Bucks was that break during COVID and then going into the bubble the way it went down. They were not the same team they were before the shutdown. They were the team that was probably hurt the most by the bubble. It was night and day in the worst way for the Bucks. They were not nearly as good defensively. They were inconsistent on the offensive end, and they didn't close games nearly as well as they did during the regular season. Not saying, again, we don't know what would have happened. You know, this is a Bucks team that's not exactly proven themselves in the playoffs. So they would have still needed, after a magical regular season, to put their money where their mouths are in the playoffs. But they kind of lost that, you know, that mojo they had going. They're still kind of trying to find it right now. And now they've had to shake up the roster. So not a ton, but again, it's not going to be easy for the Bucks. You know, a buddy of mine was texting me the other day and we were saying, you know, I wonder when the Bucks are ever going to hit that stride again. Can they get back to being that good again? Yeah, I don't know. That's probably the biggest question mark of this regular season in the East. Can the Bucks be anywhere nearly as good as they were before the NBA lockdown? It's a very intriguing question for me. We've seen, again, you see signs of it when they make a crap ton of threes, an NBA record 29 threes against the Heat. But then they follow it up with you know, a performance against the Heat that was lackluster at times. And they also have lost to the Knicks by 20. I mean, you know, again, as much as Knicks fans are happy with the start so far, losing to the Knicks by 20 is a blemish right now. It still is, despite the improvements we've seen over the last couple of games. So the Bucks are, you know, again, everyone's going to be thinking, you know, all right, when are we going to see that team that went on that crazy run, couldn't lose at home, and almost couldn't help but win at times when there were fans in the seats last year, last season? Can we see that same Bucks team again this season? I don't know. It's a big storyline, I feel like. It's arguably, again, said this earlier, it's arguably the most important storyline in the entire East. Because if the Bucks aren't there, it's wide open. It really is. Kind of like we saw last year. The Bucks get knocked out, and the rest of it was up for grabs. I mean, it could have been anybody after that that went to the NBA Finals, and it ended up being a team that many thought were a year or two away in the Miami Heat that went to the Finals and took the Lakers to six games despite having a depleted roster through injuries. So there's a lot to discuss as far as the Bucks are concerned in the early going. Pacers are doing their thing. They're quietly 3-1. No one's talking about them again. Because, again, yeah, it's Oladipo doing his thing. Sabonis having strong games in the early going. But no one's talking about them again. And we'll see how they fit in this Eastern Conference. We don't know yet with them how they're going to look. And then I'll give one more shout out. I think, honestly, the biggest surprise through the first four games in the East is probably how good Cleveland's been. And that's, by the way, without Kevin Love. Kevin Love's out for a while now with an injury. Cavs look fine at times. They really do. And I'm not saying that to hype up the Knicks win. They beat some good teams, man. Cavs, again, it's early. But hey, if you're a Cleveland fan right now, the Browns are in the playoffs, right? Cavs looking okay. You're a Lindor signing away from being a pretty decent in decent shape as a Cleveland sports fan right now. But again, it's early. Early in the season. Can't get too far ahead of ourselves. Especially in the West. I mentioned this earlier. So much can still happen with a number of teams in the West. By the way, good and bad. Right? The Warriors are 2-2. That's probably not going to last too long. You know, similar start to the Knicks. Lost the first two, rebounded, and won the next two. But to be fair, you know, Golden State hasn't played, hasn't beat anybody that good. They've been blown out by the Nets, blown out by the Bucks, and they beat a Bulls team that's pretty mediocre, if not bad, and they beat arguably the worst team in the East in the Detroit Pistons. So Golden State is not going to be that good this year, but they've rebounded, and they're 2-2. And as always, I'll leave you on this. The Pacific standings, Pacific division, is going to be very interesting this year. The Lakers and the Clippers are there. They're going to reign supreme. But Phoenix, who I think is going to be very good, is hanging around. And a young, up-and-coming Sacramento Kings team could make things interesting as well in this division. And then there's Golden State, who, God, if Klay Thompson was healthy, this would be by far the best division in NBA basketball. Imagine if you had a healthy Klay Thompson on this Warriors team. This would be by far the most competitive division in the NBA. You'd have four teams that would likely be playoff teams, and then a Sacramento Kings team that's right on the precipice. That's pretty darn impressive. But not to be. Again, Cope Clay is better in 2021. But for right now, it's still, I mean, that division, especially when you throw Phoenix into that mix with Chris Paul being added to that roster. Games in the West are going to be really fun this year when you've added Phoenix into the mix as a playoff contender. Especially in the Pacific, when you look at this division, Phoenix being good makes that division very compelling. All right, that's where I'm going to leave you guys this week. Guys, first of all, I'll leave you with two thoughts here. Thanks to everyone that listened during the Christmas show. I wanted to apologize because I didn't want to post on Christmas. I didn't want to put the last show up on Christmas Day, but there was really no other options. Like, there was no other way to kind of go around it. It made sense in the end to do it, and there was no drop in the listenership from week to week. I was so happy about that. The fact that you guys spent some of your Christmas with me meant a lot, and I hope that you guys enjoyed it. The fact that you're going to, you know, hopefully do it again, knock on wood here, for New Year's Day, I mean, it means a lot, and it's been one of my favorite parts in all different facets of my career so far when people listen to my work during the holidays. I mean, it's really, really humbling. It's really, really cool, and I really hope you guys are you know, enjoying it. You know, if you needed to use it as a distraction, I totally understand. I really hope that you're doing that, and I hope it helps. You know, I hope it helps. Hope it, you know, gets your mind going a little bit, you know, about the Knicks, about the NBA. And as always, let me know what you guys think about what's going on right now with teams in the NBA. What do you think about the Knicks? We'll know more after the Raptors game. You guys will know the result when the podcast goes out. And I'm interested to hear your thoughts on the Knicks and the rest of the league in the early stages of the season. And finally, here's to a better year in 2021. Hope you guys despite a very difficult year, got the most out of 2020 that you could, and, you know, take that positive energy and make 2021 a heck of a lot better than 2020. Guys, enjoy New Year's Eve, enjoy New Year's Day, enjoy the rest of the holiday season, enjoy the NBA basketball, enjoy the Knicks basketball, and I will see you guys next time in 2021 on the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting Podcast Network. Happy New Year, everybody.